KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, offering a new 2025 lineup of vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including a new Tacoma with turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Thursday, March 27th. A new investigation shows sentencing disparities based on race. More on that next. But first, the headlines. Next Wednesday, President Trump has promised to raise tariffs on a broad range of products by 25%. He's calling it Liberation Day. But yesterday, a group of civic and business leaders said if the president follows through, it will be a disaster for San Diego businesses and the people who work here. The gathering was organized by District 7 Councilmember Raul Campillo.
There's nothing liberating about raising the cost of fruit and vegetables and beef from Mexico, or gasoline and heating from Canada, or housing and construction materials, or clothing or appliances.
A binational delegation led by the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce will travel to Washington next week to press their case with the administration. Thanks to a legal settlement, a planned housing development in a fire-prone part of South County can move forward. Old Thai Ranch Village 13 was approved by the county in 2020, but was challenged in court by environmental groups and the state. The terms of the settlement allow more than 2,700 housing units, but with stipulations. Developers must take measures to reduce fire risk and greenhouse gas emissions. Attorney General Rob Bonta says the settlement shows it's possible to build sustainable housing, reduce wildfire risk, and protect the environment. It's opening day for the San Diego Padres as the team starts a four-game series against the Atlanta Braves. Most of the Padres stars are back, including Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. The team is looking to bounce back after losing in last year's playoffs to the eventual World Series champion, Dodgers. First pitch is just after 1 p.m. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
An investigation has revealed stark differences in how white and black people were sentenced in robbery murders under a former San Diego district attorney. Reporter Katie Heisen says nearly all of the black defendants are serving life without parole.
When Layla Aziz moved back to San Diego, she wondered where the people she grew up with went.
So it became super personal.
She discovered a few were convicted of murder during a robbery, something called felony murder special circumstances. Even if they didn't commit the murder, if they were part of the robbery, it was life without parole, a sentence to die in prison.
How do you get a death sentence if you didn't kill anyone?
California laws recently changed. People can now appeal for resentencing if they weren't the actual killer, or if they can prove racial bias in their case. So Aziz filed a public records request for all robbery murder cases with defendants between 18 and 25 years old at the time of the crime. She chose that because before 25, the decision-making part of the brain hasn't fully developed. All under Paul Pfingst, San Diego's district attorney from 1995 to 2003. Similar cases, apples to apples. She found many white defendants who could have been charged with special circumstances never were, or were given plea deals for lesser charges. Some cases were missing.
And that's when we realized you're not going to get the data just from the DA. We're going to have to dig.
By we, she means the nonprofit she runs, Pillars of the Community. They analyzed mass amounts of data, filed more records requests, visited courts, combed through archives. KPBS did the same. A clear pattern emerged. 13 out of 15 white defendants in robbery murder cases, killers and non-killers, were given the chance at parole, including one convicted of brutally murdering a Latino man. A witness said he bragged about earning his balts, a common white supremacist tattoo. 11 out of 12 black defendants, killers and non-killers, were given life without parole.
When you're looking at people, not even numbers anymore, I know all of their names by heart, and you see them treated differently by the same exact system, you're like, separate but equal? Plessy versus Ferguson, Jim Crow, it all feels the same.
The data show it wasn't one problem judge, one overeager attorney, or even prior convictions. It was a racial pattern. Pillars decided to hold what they call a people's tribunal.
To charge the district attorney the way they charge us, to subpoena the district attorney the way they subpoena us.
On a late January night, they put the current district attorney on mock trial. It was standing room only. Enlarged mugshots bordered the room.
Every single person has the same exact crime.
Aziz pointed to a black man's mugshot.
That's a non-killer. Death or parole? Death.
Then to a white man's mugshot.
Guy next to him, non-killer. Death or parole? 7 years, didn't even have to do that.
A lone representative from the DA addressed the room, Frank Jackson.
How did this happen? The answer to your question is, I don't know that answer, so I'm not going to make it up. I think most of these look like the 1998s and 2000s.
A district attorney spokesperson told KPBS the current office takes equal justice seriously. Quote, to suggest otherwise is reckless. They would not respond to any of KPBS's questions. Aziz won't let them off the hook because the district attorney has the power now to re-sentence these cases from life without parole to life with parole.
But she has chosen not to do it. So you can't fight to uphold Paul Fink's legacy of foundational racism and then say it was before your time.
Fink didn't respond to KPBS. At the People's Tribunal, they called witnesses, including Linda Whitley. Her son's mugshot was in the room. She asked Aziz to hold up what she sees as proof he's changed. College degrees he earned in prison. Books he wrote. His court process was hard for her.
It was terrible because I didn't understand a lot of stuff they were saying.
Whitley was never taught to read. She doesn't fully understand the word parole. She just knows some people get to come home, and her son can't.
I know he can show the world now. He can be a better person now.
You have a prepaid call from
Marquell Smith.
Tomorrow, we'll hear his story, how it represents thousands of others, and what could be done to bring him home. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
The Trump administration will soon require some people living along the southern border to provide personal information when they wire cash to another country. The new regulation targets money laundering by Mexican drug cartels. But reporter Gustavo Solis says privacy experts have serious concerns.
The administration is lowering the threshold required to flag suspicious cash transfers from $10,000 to just $200. This new regulation is drawing criticism from across the political spectrum. Here is Aaron Klein, a senior fellow from the liberal-leaning Brookings Institution.
It is the opposite of what Trump has promised to do with deregulation, and it raises a whole host of civil liberty questions.
The new threshold only applies to money service businesses like a Western Union or MoneyGram, not big banks. In a statement, the Treasury Department says, quote, combating drug cartels and stopping the flow of deadly drugs into the United States is one of the administration's highest priorities. But Nicholas Anthony from the libertarian-leaning Cato Institute calls the regulation a form of financial surveillance.
They want to know your name, your address, your Social Security number, and also the information for the other party.
Experts also worry that money service businesses may increase prices because of the added cost of the new regulation. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
San Diego voter opinion on President Trump's first 2 months depend on how they voted. Here's the second part of Public Matters reporter Amitha Sharma's conversation with independent Mary Jo Petrovelli and Republican Liliana Armenta.
Mary Jo, these cuts were targeted with the help of Elon Musk, who heads the Department of Government Efficiency. Musk has access to our financial data. How does this make you feel?
It gives me great consternation. I have a knot in my stomach over the idea of him and whoever is working with him having access to so much private information. He is a business person. He comes in and buys businesses and then does whatever he does with them. The government is not a business, and it should not be run like a business. The point of government is not to make money. The point of business is to make money for its owners, its stock, its investors, all of that. Government is not that. Government is supposed to do other things.
Liliana, how do you feel about Elon Musk having access to our private data?
I don't mind, because every time we sign up for a service and every time we do anything pretty much, our information is out there, whether it be with the financial institution, medical, any applications we have on our phones, our information is out there. Information gets hacked a lot. So him doing, him having our information isn't gonna, I don't see it any different than anybody else having it.
Mary Jo, are the Democrats doing a good job of countering President Trump?
Oh, that's a tough one, because A, I am not a registered Democrat, so none of them are gonna come after me to support them. But I think that there could be a better way that they're to respond. I think the House has a better voice. They seem to be better unified. There are certain people who are speaking out and trying to bring awareness to the ways that things are being done and the way that they affect people. There's a lot of shenanigans in both parties. One of the reasons I am no longer a Democrat is because their methods serve themselves in a lot of ways and not the people that supposedly they represent.
Liliana, the Trump administration has defied a court order on the deportations mm-hmm. of alleged Venezuelan gang members. Mm-hmm. As a Republican, is there a line that you do not want to see this administration cross?
I don't even believe he defied. He said that the plane was already over the airspace. So he is looking out for our safety. I would rather have them gone to return to their country and feel a little safer walking in our streets.
Mary Jo, is there anything President Trump has done so far that you're happy with?
I don't know what to even say about that. I'm trying to think if there's anything domestically that he has done that I can say, yeah, good job. And truthfully, nothing is coming to mind. And I'm sorry for that. I wish I could say, oh, yeah, he's doing this right. He's doing this well. I support this. I haven't gotten there yet.
Liliana, mm-hmm. where do you think the country is headed right now?
I want to say I'm very pleased with the way President Trump has been handling things. I feel that sometimes the media and maybe the Democrats don't focus on or don't mention on why President Trump does things. And I really believe that he keeps to America first.
That was Liliana Armenta and Mary Jo Petrovelli speaking with KPBS's Amita Sharma. The San Diego Unified School District is moving forward with plans to convert some of its property into affordable housing. Education reporter Katie Anasta says the goal is to offer employees and their families a way to live where they teach.
More than 50 employees and their families have already moved into Livia, a housing development built on district property in Scripps Ranch.
We have an educator at Rosa Parks Elementary who's now living in housing built on district property, the Livia development, who was commuting from Tijuana for 10 years.
Kyle Weinberg is president of the San Diego Education Association.
Now she's paying half of market rate to live in a 3-bedroom apartment.
The district's goal is to provide affordable housing for 10% of its staff by 2035. On Tuesday, the school board voted to seek proposals from developers for 5 other sites, including the location of its central office. Neighborhood residents like Zach Thompson asked the board to build as many units as possible there.
We need to worry not only about the supply for our teachers and staff, but the community as a whole. And we're talking about some of the best public land we have in the community.
The district will hold meetings at each location to gather community input in the coming months. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
3 months after starting his term, Poway City Council member Tony Blaine is facing a recall effort. Blaine is accused of vote trading and threatening and harassing city staffers and other officials. Last month, the council censured him. It's the first censure in Poway's 45-year history. Former council member Anita Edmondson is one of the people behind the recall effort.
That's alarming, disturbing. This is not what the district voters were expecting. It's not what they deserve. It's an embarrassment. It's making a mockery of our local government.
Blaine was served the notice of intent for a recall at the March 18th meeting. The Registrar of Voters accepted the petition on Tuesday, triggering a 7-day period for Blaine to respond. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. For your next listen, check out the Midday Edition podcast this afternoon for their weekly arts and culture show. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Thursday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Corolla with classic styling and offering up to 35 mpg, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your local Toyota dealer for all Corolla options. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.